The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Are you working? What kind of work do you do?
This is the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Touchdown! 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 Georgia!
Now, here are your hosts, two-time All-American punter Drew Butler.
Drew Butler, leader in the country in punts 49-plus. See if he booms this one. He does. Wow!
And Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, and SEC championship-winning quarterback Jake Fromm.
Flea flicker to get the night started. Downfield looking for Godwin.
Now, with the latest from around the SEC and the world of college football, it's the Punt and Pass Podcast.
Dogs are winners. A national championship for a new generation of Bulldogs.
Victory is mine. Yeah, surprisingly, I've been lame.
Welcome in to the Punt and Pass Podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler. Join alongside my co-host, Jake Fromm. Be sure to follow us on social media at Punt and Pass on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at Fromm. Jake, puntandpass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. All right, it's the first weekend of October. Week six is on deck. Once this one's wrapped up, Jake, we are officially halfway through the 2023 college football regular season. And, buddy, we have some serious matchups on deck coming up, which, of course, we will break down when we go inside the five, giving everybody the top five games of the weekend. We'll hit three and out here in just a second. Talk about all the latest news and storylines around the great game of college football. But first things first, how are you, my man? You got a big one. We're recording this a little bit early. Jake Fromm and the Washington Commanders on Thursday Night Football tonight against the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, man. We take on the Bears Thursday Night Football. Tune in. Going to be a fun one. We said it last episode. I cannot believe it's October already. Crazy. Man. Fall's flying by. Wish it could just slow down just a little bit. But going to be a great weekend of college football. Excited to talk it and chop it up.
No doubt. What's the schedule like for an NFL team getting ready for a Thursday night game? Because obviously the week is extremely truncated. You guys are at home, so that changes things a little bit. Yep. You don't have to travel. Is it physical? Are you guys hitting the field? Are the practices the same length? What's that like?
Yeah, it's very hectic. And I would say it's hectic on us players, but it's really, really tough on the coaches, because they have to come in, grind it out, game plan. We came in on Monday, kind of mid, early afternoon, kind of around 2 o'clock, and started meetings. They were there pretty late on Monday. And then Tuesday is like it's supposed to be kind of like a Friday practice, but it's more geared up towards a Thursday, a big work Thursday. But not very physical. You're kind of jogged through and really just trying to get guys moving and sweating, but not trying to get guys to strain too much because they just played a game.
Gosh, yeah.
Two, three days ago.
Overtime game at that, too. You guys, that was a battle against the Eagles.
With over 80 plays, I think, on offense.
So just a lot of install, a lot more mental preparation than obviously doing some walkthroughs, getting guys in the right place to kind of put the game plan together.
Yep. And then the game plan is short, sweet, simple stuff. You have comfort running. Not trying to trick anybody, just trying to put a good product out on the field and give ourselves a chance to win.
Love it. Love it. Speaking of a good game plan, I have one for everybody out there, and it's to get on Prize Picks this weekend. Mm. Now, I do have to say, I tried to get too cute with the DB three-piece a week ago, and I was so disappointed in myself. So disappointed in myself. I said Caleb Williams would go under 3.5 passing touchdowns last week. He had 6, okay? He had 6 against Colorado. I thought it'd be a blowout. I thought they'd start running the ball. I thought Colorado would make a late comeback and cover. 6 passing touchdowns. And, of course, Jaden Daniels and Quinshon Judkins, They got in the end zone with rushing touchdowns. So it was the last leg, the first leg, that cost me the DB3 piece. My game plan is to deliver one to the listeners this weekend. That will be coming up in a little bit. And of course, you have to download the Prize Picks app. This episode of Punt and Pass is presented to you by our awesome partners over at Prize Picks. Whenever you download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com and sign up, use the promo code PUNT and you get a 100% deposit match up to $100. So how does that work? Well, you download the app, you use the promo code PUNT, and then when you deposit $100, Prize Picks gives you $100. If you deposit $5, Prize Picks gives you $5. That's what we do for the people here on the Punt and Pass podcast. That's what the great folks at Prize Picks do for our squad. Prize Picks is a skill-based daily fantasy game, and there's so much you can get down on. NFL, Major League Baseball, yeah, the playoffs are starting, college football, the NBA and the NHL are right around the corner, and the PGA is back, the fall series. Wake up, people. Now is the time. You can win up to 25x your money. All you have to do is pick 2 to 6 players. You guess that they'll go more or less in their Prize Picks projection, and boom, there you go. DB3 piece coming up. I guarantee, hashtag, air quote, guarantee it hits this weekend. Shout out Prize Picks. Promo code PUNT. All right, let's go 3 and out. Setting the stage for a great weekend of college football. First down, Hugh Freeze, after a spirited effort against the number one ranked Georgia Bulldogs last weekend. He's talking to the media. He's doing his thing. He's answering questions. And Jake, he kind of let the cat out of the bag here, and it's getting a lot of reaction on social media. He says, and I quote, "I'll miss playing UGA every year." End quote. Now, obviously, he's alluding to the SEC expanding next year. Obviously, he's alluding to the fact that teams will be playing different teams with the new scheduling. If you're an Auburn fan or if you're a Georgia fan, are you taking this for what it's worth? And if so, if Georgia and Auburn no longer play every year, will that be one of the many tragedies of conference realignment?
I would be so hurt if the Deep South's oldest rivalry.
How can you? Yeah. I mean, how?
Gets discontinued because of expansion. But I'm also, I also am not trying to look too much into this, because earlier in the week he had another thunder of saying how Kirby didn't have much, success, early success. It's like, wait a minute, he went to the Natty in year two. So, of recent kind of plunders, he just had one earlier in the week. So
maybe he just misspoke.
Yeah, I don't know. After a very tough and spirited loss, like you mentioned, maybe it could just be another misspoken sentence. I don't know. I hope so. That's the way I want to lean on this. I hope so, because I would hate to have that game get discontinued, because it's something I always look forward to watching, always enjoyed playing. It's just a great time to play those guys.
No question. No question. It's the Deep South's oldest rivalry. I think last weekend was like the 126th playing or something along those lines. And it always comes down to ending up being a great game. I know Georgia's had a great run recently of some dominance. But out of all the things that conference realignment brings, losing some of those legacy rivalries, it just stings. It hurts a little bit deeper when you look at the grand scheme of things. And, and you talk about Oregon and Washington joining the Big Ten. Like, Oregon at Rutgers doesn't really do it for me. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm just saying that right now. Now, if the SEC were to expand further than Texas and Oklahoma, which could very well happen, last week it was reported that Clemson's trying to push some buttons and see if they can get out of the ACC. Now the conversation becomes a little bit different. Do you bring in Clemson and Florida State? Do you bring in four teams, Clemson, Florida State, Miami, North Carolina? I don't know, but things are going to continue to get bigger. It seems like we're moving towards the Power Three conferences, which would be the Big Ten, which would be the Big 12, which would be the SEC if the ACC does, in fact, lose some of those core members. But you have to keep some sort of history, okay? I understand everything's growing. Money rules all. You have to grow with the times. But this is college football we're talking about, Okay. I know that we're already dealing with it, Jake, but you got to keep some of these rivalries. So I'm going to put you on the spot here. If Georgia did have to lose one of the legacy rivalries, I'll say Florida, I'll say Tennessee, I'll say Auburn, who would you drop? Or would you add a different one in there? I think those are the three biggest legacy rivalries they have in the SEC.
Yeah, I would agree.
Who would you drop?
I'm leaning towards Tennessee.
Yeah.
Because Auburn has the Deep South's oldest rivalry. And then Georgia-Florida game, the Cocktail Bowl, it's in Jacksonville. I just something about that game. I just don't like those guys. So
yeah.
I want to see that game continue to play. Now, I don't have a whole lot of love in my heart either for Tennessee, but if you had to give me that
it's tough.
Those three games, it's tough, but I think I would have to lean Tennessee.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to lean Tennessee as well. Being an Atlanta kid, you know, growing up here, I love the Georgia Tech game. That's the team that I hate the most, more than Florida, more than Tennessee, more than Auburn. All three of my brothers-in-law went to Georgia Tech. You know, that Thanksgiving feeling, like that we're going to lose that game. It stinks.
That sucks.
We're going to lose that game. It's the price you pay for more dollars and more cents, which is exactly what college football teams, athletic administrations, conferences, schools.
Are you getting any more? I'm not getting any more dollars. Are you getting more dollars?
I'm not getting any more dollars in this. Now, it will be interesting if some of these class action lawsuits against the NCAA come down. Sir Jake Fromm will be able to sign the dotted line, put your name in those class action lawsuits, see if you can recoup some of that money. I don't know. I'm too old. I think I might be phased out of that class action lawsuit, but you know, I'll be trying. I will be trying. All right, second down. Georgia set to host their first home SEC night game since 2021 when South Carolina came to town. Should be an electric atmosphere. The buildup for this game is just growing by the minute. Number one ranked Georgia, the 20th ranked Kentucky Wildcats. Kentucky ran all over Florida last weekend, setting up a big-time matchup. Both of these teams are undefeated. Night game between the hedges should be an awesome atmosphere, 7 p.m. on ESPN. We'll get into that in just a little bit. But I do want to ask you, who's got the best home environment in the SEC? You can't say Georgia. We're going to go outside of Georgia. Who's got the best home atmosphere in the SEC? Because after last weekend when Georgia played at Auburn, you heard a lot of people giving Auburn props saying that might be the toughest place to play in the SEC.
Yeah, such a tough and loaded question.
It is.
Being the number one ranked team my freshman year going into Auburn when they whipped our tails, them playing Soldier Boy, swag surfing in the fourth quarter was pretty nuts.
Yeah, it's never fun.
Going to LSU,
but that was a 3:30 game, right? That was not a night game when you played.
We did
a 3:30 game back in the day as well. It wasn't a night game.
Yeah, and they played their little band song they have that's not podcast friendly. Tennessee's pretty cool too when they checkerboard it.
What about South Carolina?
Their night. South Carolina was just hot, man. Yeah. South Carolina was just hot. To me, South Carolina and the stadium, it reminds me a lot of the fair. I don't know if you've ever been to the Perry National Fair, but that's
shout out Perry, Georgia. Love it.
That's just what it reminds me of.
Like driving into one massive parking lot, and then there's a concrete stadium there. That is what Williams-Bryce Stadium is like.
Just kind of comes up out of nowhere. Carolina. Yeah.
Any places you played? I mean, you played at Notre Dame. You played in the Rose Bowl. Any places out of conference that really stuck out to you?
Notre Dame was cool just because of the history, the tradition. Rose Bowl, very similar. Rose Bowl had the best grass and playing surface I've ever been on. Had
really?
The mountains in the background. Beautiful Sick. Sunset. When we came out for the third quarter, just a gorgeous sunset that you could see. Like as you're playing, you just kind of look over like, wow,
that's pretty awesome.
That is just beautiful. Where else do we go? Vanderbilt, nothing too impressive about Vanderbilt. It'd be great when those guys get another stadium.
No question.
Cocktail Bowl's cool, but I would be pretty excited if I was a player to get to do a home and home with those guys. I would love to play in the Swamp just to know what that,
I know.
What that feels like.
I know. Really, the only guy that's done it is Eric Zeier as a quarterback when Georgia and Florida had to go home and home back in the late 90s. We'll get back to the original point, though. And we do have to show Georgia and Sanford Stadium some love for a night game, because one of the best night games in recent memory was when you guys hosted Notre Dame for that 8 p.m. kick on CBS. That was totally electric. That was the start of really the red lights, if I remember correctly.
It was.
And it set the stage as a great place to play. You know, those fans are going to be fired up this weekend, buddy.
Dude, I think so. People are going to be pumped about it. I already have people texting me, you know, right now, say, hey, can we stay at your house?
Are you going to be at the game?
No.
Oh, you stay up there?
Probably stay up here this weekend.
Okay.
Handle business up here. But yeah, got some friends who are staying at the house. Hopefully they can enjoy the game, because I think it's going to be awesome. I think all Georgia fans look forward to it, because you don't get it that often for whatever reason. And just try to enjoy it, hang out all day, and hopefully the dogs go out and take care of business.
Awesome. All right, third down, and this is a little bit of a pivot because this just broke. It's being reported, okay? Stick with me here because your head might spin or you might not be surprised at all. As we know, Michigan State officially fired Mel Tucker a week ago. Per CBS Brenton, in a recent closed-door board meeting, Michigan State athletics and university officials have confirmed ongoing constructive conversations with, any guesses? 3, 2, 1. Urban Meyer. The board stated that both the school and Meyer are showing, quote, extreme mutual interest. Urban Meyer getting back in the mix potentially with a rumored opening at Michigan State. This guy, I don't know what else to say. I mean, he's on Fox Big Noon Kickoff. I see him doing some podcasts throughout the week. Now it's being reported there is extreme mutual interest between Michigan State in East Lansing and Urban Meyer, who was most recently Ohio State and the Jacksonville Jaguars head coach. Jake, your thoughts, please, my friend.
I mean, I guess he just can't get enough of it, man. Just loves him some ball, has to get involved, wants to be a head cheese and win football games. So
let me just say this. Okay. And I say this with all due respect, because some of the greatest people that I know are football coaches. Some of the people who have had the most impact in my life are football coaches. Football coaches are sick individuals, man. They are addicted to the game. They can't get enough. They can't get away from it. It's all they know. It's all they love. They've been doing it since they were 5 years old. Something happens when you become a football coach to where it's like you just can't get away from it. It is a true addiction. And obviously, when I'm talking about the football coaches that have had great impact on my life, it's unlike an Urban Meyer. I'll just say that. But yeah. I do love football coaches. I will stand by my statement that they are sick individuals.
We don't ever want to disclude anybody in our conversations, but unless you've played football on our level, you have no idea how accurate that statement is.
It's out of love. It's out of endearment. It's a term of endearment.
It is. Because we respect what you guys do. We thank you for getting making us better players and better men. But man, the hours spent staring at a screen, constant game planning. I mean, it's a different world, guys. It's a different world.
I think one of the truest things I always hear when a coach gets an award, or when you're in a family setting, or if you're with your team, maybe at the end of a season gala or something like that, coaches are always the first to say, or maybe it's another family member, like, you know, I just want to thank my family because we sacrifice so much. We share ourselves with our entire team rather than just the family. Meaning, you know, Kirby Smart at Georgia, he's got his kids at home and his wife and Mary Beth Smart. He also has 125 other kids at UGA. Like, that is the burden that these coaches hold. And it's what makes it one of the hardest jobs in all of America. And I'm not lying when I say that. That is not hyperbole. The reason why I think specifically, Jake, college football head coaching is one of the toughest jobs in America. First and foremost, the expectations, right? The standard's so high. It's such a win-now environment to where you literally move your family, have one bad year, they'll just fire you. I mean, put the money aside. That sucks. But two, managing 125 18 to 22-year-olds from 125 different socioeconomic backgrounds, it's just incredible, okay? That's why a football locker room is one of the greatest things ever. You have all these guys that come together, South Georgia, Country Club, Metro Atlanta, Texas, Florida, New York, all over the place, all different personal backgrounds. Put your hand in the pile, you become brothers, and you fight towards one goal. But managing those personalities on a daily basis, communicating with them, understanding and getting involved in very personal matters, which come up daily, college football coaching specifically is one of the toughest jobs in America. I'll stand by that as well.
Dude, honestly, I don't think you could have said it any better. And I'm just going to add a little bit to it. I mean, you just cannot fathom the time they spend on their profession, their craft, on not their kids.
God bless them.
And then the not even the kids that end up playing for them, but all the other kids in the recruiting process.
Oh my gosh, dude.
So many countless hours with getting to know on a very personal level who end up going different places. Yeah, man, they do an incredible job. Somebody's got to do it. They do it. And they get paid well for it.
I'll just say this, then we'll move on. I'll do my three piece. We'll get into inside the five. I have this great appreciation now being 34 with three kids and like understanding what a college football coach really does as we're talking about. I remember my senior year of high school. I'm a nobody. I am a no star kicker punter from Peachtree Ridge High School. And about once every 3 weeks, I would get a text message and a phone call from one Mike Bobo at UGA. And I thought it was like the coolest thing in the world. Obviously, I grew up loving Georgia. I had a couple of other offers, Duke and Wake Forest. I always wanted to go to Georgia. And when Coach Bobo would call me literally like 9:30 on a Wednesday night. So if you're listening to this podcast and it's 9:30 on a weeknight and you have kids and you have a job, imagine having to pick up the phone and call a 16-year-old who's in senior year of high school and be like, hey man, what's up? Like holding a conversation with me. It's just so ridiculous. I have such great appreciation for it. And they do that over and over and over again to build relationships, to recruit. He just had to do it with me. And it's just so funny looking back at that now, having had him be my coach. Now he's back at UGA as the offensive coordinator. Your recruiting experience, far different from mine. Five-star recruit, QB1 on Netflix. I mean, that must have just bombarded with you, right?
Yeah. I mean, the relationships that I was able to just create and build during the recruiting process was huge. And it's so funny that the kind of the fruits of those relationships being built like shows up across the league all the time. Like,
yeah.
Coach Chaney, like a year or two ago was with the New Orleans Saints. And just see him on the sideline. So you never know who you're going to see in the coaching profession. And then also too, man, just having a coach reach out to you after you go beat Lee County or somebody. I mean, it just makes you feel good all the time. Great. So but it's also taking a lot of time out of your life as well.
I think you said last season, like Billy Napier recruited you hard at Alabama and didn't he come visit when you were maybe with the Browns or somebody and you guys sat there and had lunch together, like just caught up on life or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's remarkable.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen in any other profession.
You just never know. Right. I mean, I was a 10th grader in high school and talked to Coach Napier a bunch when I go over there getting recruited. And then all of a sudden he's the head coach at Florida and I'm with the Browns for a workout and we sit and have lunch and just talk about how it's going. I mean, you just never, ever know, treat everybody the same.
Football is a beautiful game. And I will say, you and I have known each other now for about a year and a half. I mean, honestly, before you jumped on the podcast, you knew my dad better than you know me when he was a student assistant at Georgia.
Sure did.
But I've never had one person say anything other than awesome things about Jake Fromm. So hats off to you, sir.
Thanks, hats off to you, sir.
All right, before we head into the Inside the Five, diving into the top five games of the week, we have a bunch of top 25 matchups, which is pretty awesome. It's going to be a great weekend of college football. We need to tell you about Prize Picks. That's right. Download the Prize Picks app. We're recording this a bit early, okay? Jake has a Thursday night football game on Prime Video. It's the Bears at the Commanders. So you're going to have to head on over to social media to get the DB3 piece. I'll put it up all over the place, but it's hitting this weekend. Tail it, please. I will brag about it all next week when we cash. Download the Prize Picks app. Use the promo code PUNT. You get a 100% deposit match up to $100. It's an unbelievable college football slate. I will get you locked in. Caveat here, we're recording this a bit early. You got to go to social media. At Punt and Pass, at Drew Butler, at Prize Picks. It will be up there before the weekend. I will continue to repost it. I will continue to post the promo code. I'm trying to give you free money, people. Thanks to our great partners over at Prize Picks. Download the Prize Picks app, the best skill-based daily fantasy game on the market. Promo code PUNT. That's Prize Picks. All right, Jake, let's go inside the five. We're starting at noon. This game's on ABC. It's the Red River Rivalry. Number 12, Oklahoma, undefeated. Against number 3, Texas, undefeated. Hasn't happened in a while. Texas is a 6.5-point favorite. The total here, 59.5. I feel like that's a little low. I've watched a lot of Oklahoma football for whatever reason so far this year. This offense is clicking under Jeff Lebby, who came from Ole Miss. Dylan Gabriel is spreading the ball out all over the yard. Everybody knows how explosive Texas offenses is. Quinn Ewers, A.D. Mitchell, that run game, Steve Sarkisian. This one's sure to bring some fireworks. I love to see the hype around this rivalry again.
Dude, I agree. Cannot agree more. I want Texas to win this football game. Like I want them to win this game. Not that I think they're going to win. I do think they're going to win, but I want them to win because I want Texas to have a good season. I want them to be in the mix at the end of this deal. And I want them to come in with some steam and some firepower into the SEC next year, make some noise. And I think it's just, it'd be good for the SEC and I think it'd be good for college football. So I'm excited about this one. It's going to be a big test for those guys. They had to battle early with Kansas last week, but I think they'll come out clicking a lot sooner. And they've already had a big test against Alabama. So I think because they've already have that experience, I'm going with Texas all day long on this one.
Listen to these quarterback statistics. Dylan Gabriel, almost 1,600 yards passing, 15 touchdowns to only 2 interceptions. Quinn Ewers, about 1,400 yards passing, 10 touchdowns to 1 interception. Oklahoma's averaging 510 total yards of offense. Texas, almost 480 total yards of offense. And Texas just dismantled Kansas last weekend. Kansas was the top 25 team. They're rolling right now. These two teams sit above the Big 12. Jake just told you they're about to head into the SEC. This is going to be a great game. Most certainly, you have to take the over here. Tune in on Saturday at noon and get you some. I mean, 59.5, 60.5. I think it goes way over. But get this. Texas is just 4-10 straight up, but 8-6 against the spread in this game since 2010. Last year, Texas was favored for the first time since 2009, and they won 49-0. So Oklahoma, big revenge factor.
They have to come out with something, but will it be enough? I personally do not believe so.
I'm going to take the points. Give me 6.5. Texas wins a close one. Whoever has the ball last wins. I think this is one of those classic games. So going to be a fun one. Great QB matchup. I'm locked in for that game, no doubt about it. On the other TV, Jake, at noon, on ESPN. We have a great SEC matchup, 23rd ranked LSU at 21st ranked Missouri. LSU is a 6.5 point favorite. The total here is 63. LSU's defense, buddy, oh, buddy, they need to fix some things because a lot of pundits were high on the Tigers heading into the season. They've already dropped two games. They could be heading into irrelevancy if they lose at Mizzou.
Yeah, that's
is irrelevancy a word? I do not know. I'll look that up.
I knew what you meant.
Okay,
so
good.
It's a gooder enough word for
yes,
me.
Yes, perfect. Perfect.
How about that? But I was not expecting, I don't know, I say it was not. LSU is going downhill a little bit quicker than I was expecting. Had some tough games here early. I think it would be hard for them to let two or one bad game turn into two here, back to back. But Mizzou is surprising people right now, man. They got this game at home. It's at noon. Maybe they could get out to a fast and early start and basically beat LSU up before they ever knew what hit them. So I don't know. I mean, to be honest with you, I wish I knew more about 21 ranked Mizzou, but I was not expecting them to be a contending team this year in the top 25. But here they are surprising us, and I think they got a shot against 23 LSU coming into town at noon.
I love it. Let me tell you a little bit more about those Mizzou Tigers, led by Brady Cook, who's got some experience in the SEC. He is a very apt quarterback. Irrelevancy is not a word. They are heading into irrelevance. That is the word. So drop the Y there. But I said it on Monday's podcast. The last time these two teams matched up at Faurot Field, Mizzou won. They knocked off LSU 45-41. They were 14 point underdogs back in that COVID year of 2020. Some high level stats. Obviously, Jaden Daniels is lighting it up, but that LSU defense, I don't know. I've just got a lot of question marks about it. Brady Cook has not thrown an interception yet this season. So if he can take care of the football, he will be putting Mizzou in a very great spot. LSU's offense, though, they can score with the best of them. I don't know, man. I mean, Missouri's defense, pretty stout. I don't know, 300 yards total offense allowed. Good rush defense. I think LSU's going to get theirs. I feel like Mizzou's going to be a popular pick here based on what people saw from LSU last week. So with that being said, I think I'd lay the 6.5 with the Tigers of LSU. These are both Tigers in this game. So I'll lay the 6.5 with LSU. All right, let's go to the 3:30 matchup. Number 11, Alabama heads to Texas A&M. These are the last two undefeated teams in the SEC West in conference play. 3:30 on CBS, Bama. Short 2.5 point favorite. The total here is 49.5 points. Could Jimbo Fisher go back to back, knocking off Nick Saban? Texas A&M won this game a year ago.
Yeah, I don't see it, Coach. It's not the cards. I know Alabama is not the Alabama of old. They're the Alabama of new, and They're trying to figure it out, but I think under the old motto of keep chopping, I think they're going to just slowly grind this season out, and they'll be where they want to be late in the year, and it starts by beating Texas A&M on the road. So I think this may be a turning point in their season where they really start to figure things out. 2.5 is tight, so I guess the money line people out in Vegas aren't expecting a whole lot of stuff out of Alabama, but I am, Coach. I am. And I think they're going to turn things around and get on the right track going into the second half of the season.
Allow me to correct myself. Alabama won this game last year at home. I meant back-to-back at Texas A&M. Could Jimbo Fisher make it happen? They beat Alabama in College Station 41-38 back in 2021. You know, Max Johnson's spinning it, and Texas A&M seems like they're finding a little bit of their group. And we mentioned Ole Miss 2 weeks ago against Alabama. If not now, when?
When?
It almost seems like this SEC West scenario for Texas A&M, if not now, when? If not this season, when is the window going to be this wide open for Jimbo Fisher to take advantage of the opportunity and find themselves in Atlanta. It's driving me crazy, but I cannot think of the person. If it was anybody out there listening, text me, tweet me, let me know who you think said this. Somebody told me this. They were like, Texas A&M is going to be the West champion. They'll be in the SEC championship. I was like, whoa, really? A&M wins this football game. Give me the points. A&M wins this football game. If not now, when? It's at College Station, 3:30 game. Place should be rocking. Jalen Milroe hasn't proven it. If the defense can limit what Milroe does on the ground, take the Texas blueprint, put it in your game plan, try to beat Alabama. I always feel a little grimy when I pick against Alabama. You do not make a profit fading Alabama, but this year it's different. I don't know. Something just tells me. It could be the year for A&M. That thought, somebody put that thought in my head. Maybe I dreamt it. Maybe I didn't, but I'll roll with A&M here. Watch out, Alabama. I'm putting you on notice. No. Putting you on notice. All right. We will go to the ABC game before we break down the Georgia-Kentucky game. Number 10, Notre Dame, heads to undefeated number 25, Louisville. Okay. 7:30 p.m. ABC. Notre Dame's a 6.5-point favorite. The total is 51.5. I don't know. Notre Dame, of course, they love the national spotlight. They've dropped the game with that close loss to Ohio State. They got out of Dodge, that being Duke, a week ago with a late comeback victory. Louisville, undefeated. I'm assuming you haven't seen much Louisville. Hand up. I haven't either. What are you thinking here? Could Sam Hartman and the boys get it done on the road? Those night road games against a top 25 opponent, that's just tough sledding for any team.
Like, I just know about our little bit QB room talk a little bit about Louisville. Know Jeff Brohm's their head coach. I know they're well coached.
That's right.
And I know Notre Dame went and played Duke on the road last week and didn't play all that great. I'm just kind of under this, hey, watch out. But also on the other side of that is, are they going to let that happen 2 weeks in a row? So I think Notre Dame's going to come out. And I think the quarterback from Notre Dame's going to have a big game.
Sam Hartman. I'll agree with you on that.
I think he responds. I think he's got to.
I think that's a pretty good handicap. I mean, I love a primetime home dog. Louisville fits that moniker perfect right here, catching 6.5. Probably gets closer to 7 before kickoff as the public will steam up Notre Dame. Jack Plummer is the quarterback for the Jeff Brohm-coached Louisville Cardinals. And I looked it up last week. He has no relation to Jake the Snake Plummer, former NFL quarterback from Arizona State. And the kid's from Arizona as well, which is crazy to me. I mean, it's not that Jake Plummer's from Arizona. I think he lives in Denver now. But I was like, oh, Plummer, Arizona. He must be Jake's kid. He's not. Jack Plummer, no relation. Kind of crazy. Louisville averaging over 300 passing yards per game. Notre Dame's defense only allowing 145 passing yards per game. So it could be a good matchup for the Fighting Irish.
I like that.
I'll roll with you as well. Take Sam Hartman. I have a future Heisman bet on him, which is probably dead after they lost that Ohio State game. That was a big bummer. All right, let's break down the biggest game of the weekend for most of our listeners. Number 20, Kentucky, heading between the hedges to take on the top-ranked Georgia Bulldogs. 7 p.m. ESPN, our buddy Sean McDonough, Greg McElroy, Molly McGrath on the call. Georgia right now, shockingly, a 14.5-point favorite. The total is set at 47 points. Jake, I'll just say it right now. A lot of people are expecting a lot of things from Kentucky after Ray Davis went for 280 and 3 touchdowns against Florida a week ago. And when Georgia's rushing defense did not look very good against Auburn.
So you think 14 is a little high, Coach?
I think it's high. I think the odds makers are begging you, go take Kentucky. I thought they were doing the same thing last week against Auburn. Through 5 games, Georgia has not covered a game yet. They're 0-4-1. Vegas just doesn't give out free money there, Coach. They're going to get it back one way or another, but I can't figure out if this is the week.
I don't know, man. I think the Dogs finally just put a good one together.
You think so? You got to start fast.
For 4 quarters, hey, it's a 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. kickoff, so they have all day to figure out that first 15 15 scripted plays. And I think they figure it out. They start fast finally. score a touchdown the first drive and the second drive. And I think the Dogs run the Cats out of the stadium.
You think so? So Liam Cohen and Mark Stoops and Devin Leary, their quarterback, who again, you know, transferred in from NC State, a guy who's got tons of experience. And then Ray Davis putting together an amazing game. It's not like they're going to be sneaking up on the Dogs now. I mean, Georgia's going to be watching that tape. You said it on Monday's podcast. Kirby is going to be screaming at those guys at practice. Set the edge. Set the edge. I feel like this is a good matchup for Georgia. Watch the tape from the Florida-Kentucky game. Every single one of Ray Davis's long touchdown runs was in between the tackles. What is one thing that Auburn did not do against Georgia? Run it in between the tackles. They exposed the perimeter of Georgia's defense. Clearly, Hugh Freeze saw that as a weakness. I just don't know if Kentucky has the dudes to say, okay, let's pivot our rushing attack to attack the perimeter. They might just try to get inside the tackles, Jake. I feel like Georgia can stuff that pretty good.
Yeah, I'm speaking from personal experience here. And anytime the defense under Coach Smart had an issue, whether they gave up a ton of passing yards or they had a couple big run plays, whatever that issue was on defense, let me tell you, son, they fixed it.
They addressed
it. The next week. They address it, and I promise the boys are going to be hitting on defense. They're going to be setting the edge. They're going to be winning inside, and the perimeter DBs are going to be just diving, crawling, and blowing up the ball carrier, especially after his big game last week. So you watch out. That defense is going to be some crazy junkyard dogs come this Saturday.
The last four meetings between Georgia and Kentucky have gone under the total, averaging 25.8 points per game. Knowing that Kentucky's probably going to try to establish the run game, how much of a factor can the fan base be? So loud that you're going to try to force some false starts early. I thought, and we talked about it on last week's podcast, hey, if Georgia's not going to score early, gain some yards, punt them deep, make them go 80 plus. It's exactly what Georgia did. And they started turning the ball over and things got a little bit out of whack. When you know a team's going to be running so much, how much can the fan base be a factor?
Oh, it's still a huge factor. I mean, you still got to throw the ball on third longs. I mean, you can't just sit there and hand the ball up every time. I mean, I guess Georgia Tech could back in the day when they were running the triple option, but yeah. You're still going to throw the ball on third down. You still have to be able to communicate protections, runs, checks, all those sorts of things. So crowd noise is still always a factor. And man, Sanford Stadium at night, it's just an unbelievable atmosphere. It's going to be rocking the lights, fourth quarter. It's going to be some cool stuff, man.
So you're calling Dogs blowout. Now, is that 31-3? Is it Kentucky's going to get some points on the board as well? I like what you said. In the history of Kirby's 8 years at Georgia, when the defense gets exposed in a specific area, most of the time it gets corrected the following week.
I like 34-10.
Okay. All right, yeah. A succinct prediction from one Jake Fromm. I think 34-10 is a great prediction. Brock Bauer's probably going to get activated.
Yeah.
You and I talked about it on Monday. If Carson Beck plays for the rest of the season like he did in the second half against Auburn, then watch out. I'd love to see a little bit of moxie. I'd love to see a little bit of juice from Carson Beck under the lights. Let me see him scream a little bit in the pregame montages when ESPN's getting the cameras around. I think it's going to be a great night for Georgia as well. Go back in the past 5, 6, 7 years of punt and pass. You know I love it when Georgia sends Kentucky to basketball season, which is exactly what could be happening this Saturday night between the hedges. So, Jake, you've talked me into it. I love the Dogs. I like the under, and I like the Dogs. So there you go. You just said it, my friend. Going to be a great one in between the hedges. Going to be a great weekend for everybody as well. Your football weekend gets kicked off tonight, Thursday Night Football, Bears at Commanders. Good luck, my friend. Dude, it'll be a fun one to watch.
Thanks, man. It's going to be a fun night. Stadium's going to be rocking. It's going to be a good time.
Absolutely. Before you get locked in for the weekend, make sure you got your Prize Picks app fired up. If you haven't downloaded it yet, get it now. Use the promo code PUNT. You get a 100% deposit match up to your first $100. So much action going on. College football, Major League Baseball playoffs have officially started. The NHL and NBA are right around the corner. PGA Tour golf this weekend in Jackson, Mississippi. Get on Prize Picks. You can do cross-sport entries. Pick 2 to 6 players. Predict if they go more or less in their Prize Picks projection, and you can win 25 extra money. Head on over to social media at Prize Picks or at Drew Butler or at Punt and Pass, and I'll give you the DB three piece. It's cashing this weekend, and we can all have a profitable first weekend of October. That is my present to you. Thank you, Prize Picks. Follow them at Prize Picks. Use the promo code PUNT. Follow us at Punt and Pass, at Drew Butler, at From Jake, puntandpass.com. Jake, anything on the way out, my friend?
No, man. Dogs win. Let's go, baby.
Love it. I love it. All right. Have a great weekend. Go Commanders on Thursday Night Football. Enjoy the first crisp weekend of October, and we will talk to you on Monday. See ya.
We out.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford. We are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
This morning in the Atlanta airport, no one's missing a meal on Mac Wilburn's watch. With 11 restaurants to serve passengers, he's got dining for every destination. And it all started when Mac talked with First Horizon Bank about opening a franchise in the airport. Now it's open for business and cleared for takeoff. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Mac. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.